So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Father God, we pray for Josh as he comes to speak to us. We pray that he will speak clearly from your word, and that we might grow in the knowledge and understanding of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
First of all, won't have escaped your notice, even if you're not a football fan, that there's been quite a lot of exciting sports stuff going on. There's an exciting final tonight, and it's unusually encouraging as a tournament for an English fan, isn't it? You sort of expect to be knocked out fairly soon once you reach the knockout stages, but the England team has played amazingly as a team. England have always had talented players, but in many tournaments, they don't look like they're playing as a team. This time they're playing amazingly together. There's also another sport going on at the moment. There's probably quite a lot of sports, but the other famous sport going on at the moment is Wimbledon, if I've got that right. Is there a tennis final this afternoon? Some of you might be watching that instead of the football. But in tennis, there's a very different focus, isn't there? It's not about the team. In tennis, there is one star player who has to do everything. And anyone else who's involved, you know, the coach and so on, the physio, that they're all there to support the one star player. It all rests on one person. But football is a team sport. Gareth Southgate, the England manager, has spoken of the importance of empathy, of valuing and respecting each member of the squad, of giving each player responsibility, of wanting each player to have an opinion, of forming a team that works together. And so as we think about a church that grows in Jesus' grace and truth this morning, those two sports might give us a picture of two different ways of thinking about church, and one of them is wrong. The picture of church is basically like tennis, with the church minister, who's like the star tennis player, has sometimes taken hold in churches. Everything rests around the ordained person or the person at the front. In a sense, his or her ability is what attracts people to the church. It's what makes the church a success. And everyone else in the church is sort of basically the supporting cast for that one person. It's a bit like a version of Terry Pratchett's comment in his Discworld novel. Terry Pratchett has this sort of imaginary world, magical world, and Rincewind, the failed wizard from Ankh-Morpork, ends up on the Discworld equivalent of China on the eve of a revolution. And one of the revolutionaries has a slightly misguided view of Ankh-Morpork, the city, and says, Ankh-Morpork, the great city of one man, one vote. And Rincewind replies, one man, one vote? Yes, I've met him. The patrician is the dictator of, benign dictator of Ankh-Morpork. One man, one vote sounds like the slogan for democracy, but ends up being equally true of the dictator. And sadly, that is sometimes how churches have looked. We say, God has given the church many gifts, and one man has all of them. He leads, he teaches, he plays the piano, he sings, runs the tech, and does the evangelism, and everyone else just watches. Well, Ephesians 4 doesn't let us take that view of church. We're going to see that that's a totally wrong view of church. That's not how it's meant to function. There's another picture of Christian ministry that I also want to take aim at this morning. And this is the rather odd idea that we have, that we can only serve God, because ministry just means serving. We only serve God in some very special activities. So for some of us, in our minds, you know, when you teach the Bible or when you share the gospel or pray, that's ministry. So it's ministry if you teach in the Sunday school, but not if you wash up the coffee mugs. It's ministry if you preach, but not if you move the chairs. That's one version of this problem. Another version of it is what matters is that you're doing something run by the church. So you look after children in the church, creche, it's ministry. Look after your own children or be a childminder, that's not ministry. It's secular. Sort out the accounts for church, that's ministry. Sort out the accounts for your company, that's not ministry. That's not really serving Jesus. Essentially, only things run by the church or a Christian organization count as ministry. And towards the end of our time, we're also going to be thinking, that's not a right view of ministry. That's not a right view of what God's people should be doing as they serve Jesus. So now let's get back to Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 12. And we see, first of all, that Jesus gives ministers of the word to equip all of his people for ministry. David's already helped us begin thinking about this morning. But verse 11, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service. So if you want to say, who's the man with all the gifts? It's Jesus. No other human being has all the gifts. Jesus does. And he is so rich in gifts that he gives gifts to everybody. Verse 7, to each one of us, grace or a gift has been given as Christ apportioned it. In Ephesians so far, if you'd follow the sort of the book through, you'd find that Jesus is the one who became temporarily poor in becoming human and then dying in our place. But having paid the price for our sins, he's now risen and alive and ascended to the throne of heaven. And now as the glorified Christ, the Messiah, God's Son incarnate, he is the man with all the gifts, the one who has the Spirit without measure and pours out the Spirit on his people. So if we focus church around one church member or act as if the pastor has all the gifts, we're actually stealing glory from Jesus. He is the one man who has all the gifts. And he then generously gives them to the church. And here in Ephesians 4, 11 to 12, there's a particular order to the gifts that does matter. To put it simply, word ministry fuels every other ministry. The way that's put here is that Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastor teachers to equip his people for works of service. And so you have these four different people roles, that the apostles, the eyewitnesses of Jesus, eyewitnesses of the risen Jesus, commissioned by Jesus to be the starters of the church, the foundations of the church in that sense. And in the early church, before the New Testament was written, they were complemented by prophets, people with a gift to hear from God a message for that, the church that day to help them to live for Jesus. Then there were evangelists, people whose focus was to get the word of God out to those who don't know Jesus so that they could hear the good news about Jesus and find life by trusting Jesus. And finally, there were the pastor teachers, and most scholars now think that that's one group, the pastor teachers, who care for the church flock by teaching them from the scriptures. Now, there are debates about this list. More charismatic Christians would say there are still church planting or church movement leading apostles and still prophets speaking a word of God directly to the church. More conservative Christians would say actually the apostolic and prophetic gifts were for the first generation of the church. But actually, that doesn't matter for today's message. We're not going to get into that debate. For today's message, the important point here is that the ministers who are mentioned are all ministers of the word. They are all people who bring God's message to others. So the evangelist has the outward focus, and arguably the apostles did as well as they went out and started churches, get the good news of Jesus out beyond the church. And the pastor teacher focuses perhaps a bit more on the growing disciples of Jesus inside the church, but they're both ministers of the word. Word ministry is what Jesus gives to fuel every other ministry, because word ministry is how we hear Jesus' voice. It's only as we hear and understand the message about Jesus, as God come to rescue us, that we can become disciples of Jesus. You can't be part of Jesus' body, part of God's family, by being born into a particular country, or by trying to be nice, or even by coming along to a religious meeting. We need to hear the true message about Jesus found in the Bible in order to know who he is and what he's done. And when we hear and learn that Jesus is God come as a human being to rescue us, and when we learn that our selfish pride and rejection of God dooms us to a spiral of destruction, but that Jesus came to take that destruction on himself on the cross, and that he rose up from the grave to give us imperishable life, then when we hear that message, which we'd never have figured out for ourselves, we can trust in Jesus and become his disciples and live with him now and forever. It's absolutely impossible to start the Christian life without the word of God about Jesus. And so word ministry fuels every other ministry. And that's not just how you start. If we're not constantly learning more about Jesus in the Bible, we'll stop being disciples of Jesus, learners of Jesus. We'll stop being followers of Jesus in the end. We may do lots of good things and learn skills and enjoy community, but we cannot be growing in Jesus' grace and truth without receiving his truth, and so understanding his grace better. Jesus ensures his people are fed on God's word and so growing. He gives his people those who will teach the word. And so it's a convictional thing. This is how church works. That's why many churches, their first member of staff is a pastor teacher, a minister to teach the word of God. And a pastor is kind of like the digestive system of the body. So it's not a very glamorous role, but read lots of stuff in the Bible. Think about the culture around us lots. And then at the end of that process of digesting it, give people slightly more manageable bite-sized bits so that they can get the fuel they need for the week, the word of God, for growing and healing and service. So again, we need to be clear. This priority of word ministry is not like the tennis star. Here's the man with the gift that really matters, so we'll build church around him. No, word ministers are more like the coach of the football team or the manager of the football team. Their job is to train and equip the whole squad so that everyone plays their part. Christ gave word ministers to equip his people for works of service. And that includes training up others to minister the word. We're all to speak truth in love, verse 15. But it also includes training people for works of service that are varied. Now, that idea that the word minister trains up everyone else for works of service could easily be misunderstood. It could easily sound like the pastor teacher is the expert in every field. He tells the creche workers how best to engage toddlers and quieten babies, and the tech team exactly which equipment to use and which hole the wire should go in. And the refreshments people, how best to make tea. With Juliana, I've been reading Gerald Durrell's My Family and Other Animals. And the family are very interesting. The older brother is called Larry. And he's the literary older brother. And whatever anyone else in the family does, he knows better. And when Leslie, the other brother, comes and is very proud of having used his shotgun and shot two birds with both barrels of a shotgun, one after another, Leslie says, "Oh, that's easy. Obviously, you just have to focus." And he comes unstuck because when he goes to prove it, he shoots the gun on a bridge and falls into a muddy ditch. It proves that he's not quite as good as he thinks he is. Well, pastors don't know the most about anything. We have many gifted people who know far more about how to quieten babies or make tea efficiently or to sort out sound equipment. No, the pastor teacher doesn't teach everyone all the practical skills. Rather, the pastor teacher feeds people God's word, showing them Jesus as our all-sufficient Savior, our wonderful healer, our constant friend, our perfect example. And as the word of God is taught, as the gospel is proclaimed, the Spirit takes those words and changes all of us. Heart and mind changed by the love and truth of God. And as we're changed inwardly, learning Christ and leaning on Christ, loving Jesus and being more like him, then we're motivated to serve at Jesus and his people. And we're given wisdom from God's word to do it. The word of God equips all of us to learn things, but we may also have to learn other ways and use the gifts that God's people in other places. It's not that the word ministry teaches us exactly how to set up a sound system, but it tells us why we do it. We want people to hear clearly. It gives us the right attitude to doing it. It enables us to use wisdom and skills to serve others. So Jesus gives ministers of the word to equip all his people for ministry. We need word ministry. We need to be fed by it and equipped by it. But it mustn't stop at word ministry, as if the sole purpose of the church is to raise up more people who can stand at the front and give Bible talks. Rather, word ministry fuels every person ministry, every person serving. And we must empower every person to minister for a healthy, growing church. Listen again to Ephesians 4, 11 to 12. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. So do you get that? It's not merely that pastors preaching leads to healthy churches. The point where you get a healthy, growing church is when the pastors preach and everyone is equipped to serve. Only when everyone is actively serving do we have a healthy, growing body of Christ. And that has big implications. It means the measure of good teaching is not merely, did I like the sermon or not? Or even, was it a faithful presentation of what the Bible says? But the measure of good teaching is that I and everyone else in the church are equipped to serve Jesus. If people come in and they don't know Jesus, they're not yet followers of Jesus, they are equipped to become followers of Jesus through the Word of God. They hear about Jesus and can make that choice. For those who are followers of Jesus, they're equipped to serve Jesus so that the body of Christ is built up. Pastor teachers are doing their job when everyone in church enjoys the grace and truth of Jesus for themselves and knows that they can serve Jesus with who they are and the places Jesus has put them. So that raises a question for someone like me and for the other elders who oversee the church. Are we feeding the flock of Jesus well? Are we equipping everyone in Emmanuel for ministry? And if we get this right, then Jesus grows the church in a profound way. Verse 13, all of this is verse 12, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The whole measure of the fullness of Christ depends on everyone being equipped to serve and active in serving. Verse 16, from Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You don't get full maturity if even one part isn't doing its work. But as each part of the church body does its work, we grow, we're built up in love, we're united in faith and knowledge of Jesus. This is how you get a maturity that enables you not to be blown to and fro by trends and divisions. Everybody in the church empowered for ministry. And there are different sorts of ministry different people will be involved in. We all do some level of serving to equip his people, all of them, for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. But we will serve in different ways. We should all speak the truth in love, verse 15. But some of us will have particular speaking roles. In Ephesians 4 and verse 7, it speaks of Jesus giving each of us grace, each of us a gift. To each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And in 1 Corinthians, when Paul deals with a similar image of the church's body, he speaks of the many different gifts that together make up the body that's able to serve him, serve Jesus. So we need people who are gifted with technology, people who are cheerful and strong box movers, people who can welcome newcomers and make them feel at home, people who can care for and teach different ages of children, people who can care for those with practical needs, people who are musical, people who can listen well and give wise biblical counsel, people who can lead services, people who have administration skills and can put together rotas. All these are needed if the church body in Emmanuel is to become the mature body of Christ. All these are needed if we are to love each other well with our varied needs and concerns, if we are to glorify Jesus fully in our time together, if we're to proclaim the good news of Jesus to those around us. And this last year has just made some of that harder, hasn't it? Some of those areas of ministry, of service, have stopped for a season. And with the constant changes and sense of waiting for reality to return, we've been less good at empowering individuals and teams to figure out how to run areas of our joint life, how to minister. Sometimes in trying to respond quickly, I've become less good at empowering others to serve, people who can do things better than I can. And so some of you may find that your service muscles have atrophied a bit over this year. Others of you may feel like, you know, with new areas that have taken on, you're feeling worn out. So short term, one of the things we'd like to encourage out of this service and this home group's looking at it is if you're part of Emmanuel and you're not yet serving in a Sunday morning in some way, we'd love to get more people involved to spread the load and to use different people's gifts. Things like the tech team or the stewarding team or creche or refreshments, which we hope will come. Please let me or one of the other elders know if you're interested in serving in these ways, because we want to grow the team and use people's gifts. We know everyone needs to serve for the body to be healthy and grow, not just a few parts doing all the work. And longer term, as we come out of the summer and start perhaps to return to normal, it might be you're serving in areas that aren't actually your main gifts, or you're not using gifts that you'd like to use. And we want to be thinking together about how we equip each other, encourage each other, empower each other to serve Jesus and each other in church. You've received grace from Jesus to serve in this church family. If you've trusted in Jesus, Jesus has things for you to do, and he's given you gifts, skills, time or energy to do something. You may not know it yet. You may want to ask others in your home group, what do you think I should be doing? What do you think I could do? But we want to be a church where from the leadership and to each other, we encourage each other to each serve. So hopefully we've seen how unbiblical the idea of church being all about the pastor is, or the idea that he should have all the gifts and do all the work. But we haven't yet thought about all of the implications of every church member ministering. There's one more thing we need to look at. But to do that, I'm going to get you to do your some work. There's going to be a couple of questions that appear on the screen. And we're going to think about the idea that the church is meant to grow to be the mature body of Christ, with the fullness of Christ. So in your households, and if you can get two households chatting together, that's great. Have a look back at Ephesians 1. What does that tell us about the fullness of Christ? And what would that mean for the church if it is to attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ? Hopefully you've begun to think about that. So let's just, don't shout too loud, but just you can quietly shout out answers. What does Ephesians 1, 10, verses 10 and 22, 23 tell us about the fullness of Christ? Any concepts of, when you talk about the fullness of Christ, how big is that? Everything in every way. Yes, so the end of verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. That's pretty comprehensive. Heaven and earth, everything is under him. Everything belongs to him. Christ fills everything. Okay, so the fullness of Christ is cosmic. It is just as big as you can conceive and bigger. What does that mean then for the church, which is to attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ? Yep. So if we're the body of Christ, we show what Christ is like, what his kingdom is like on earth, so we show what it's like in the end when heaven and earth are united in Christ. Yeah. Yeah, brilliant. So if this is the fullness and church is meant to be like full of as full as Christ in the end, we're clearly a long way from that. So there's clearly a sense in which much of this world and even of our own lives is not really brought into this unity with Christ and with and the sort of the perfect rule of Christ. So there's a lot to be done. Yeah. I can't say we've finished it because now we've got a church that meets on a Sunday. One other thought that really struck me, and this might just be preachers having weird ideas in their heads, so bear with me, is that church needs to impact all of life, all of the world. It's not enough to say church. It really matters what you do in here. If Christ is the one who's going to fill everything in every way and bring everything into unity under him, then every part of life matters, and we can serve Christ in every part of life. And so that brings me to my third point. We must empower every person for ministry beyond the church to fulfill Christ's mission. The Church of Christ must impact every part of life, and the world of Christ is the one who rules heaven and earth and will fill it all. And the church is the body of Christ, and we are each part of that body, and that means wherever each one of us goes, if we're in Christ, we take Christ into those places. And so church is not simply the time of gathering to worship Jesus. That's really important, that we do gather to worship Jesus. But the church as the body of Christ carries Jesus out into all the world and every part of life. So what we do on Sunday and in our home groups should be empowering our mission as part of Christ's body, his mission to the world. And I want to suggest that one of the dangers for us, when we start thinking Christ must impact all the world, his body, his church must impact all the world, is we start to say, therefore the church must organize a ministry for every area of life. Because it's a ministry when the church as an organization does it. So we need a ministry for the elderly, a ministry for mums with children, a ministry for the arts, a ministry for the sports, a conservation ministry, an environmental ministry, a workplace ministry, and more. And our assumption can easily be, unless the church has organized it, it's not really Christ's body doing it. We're not fulfilling the commission of Christ to go and be part of his body in all situations, impacting all of the world that belongs to him. But I want to suggest that the way that the church as the body of Christ does these things most often is by Christians who are part of the body of Christ doing these things where they are and informally. How does a church do ministry to the elderly beyond the church? Well, maybe it's by Christians being kind to an elderly neighbour and helping them and inviting them around for a cup of tea. How do Christians impact the sports? It might not be that the church organises something. It might be that Christians get involved in sports groups and are good members there. They work hard at the sport and they work hard to be a loving presence there who says a few words about Jesus when there's appropriate opportunities. I've been really encouraged with the England football team to see some of the players very boldly say things about the importance of Jesus to them. And they have an influence. They bring Christ into that situation, not because the church has organized something, but because Christians have gone there and then tried to live distinctively for Jesus, to serve Jesus there. So how do we change workplace cultures to make healthy, honest cultures that value employees and customers? Well, by Christian employees and business owners and managers living out their faith where God's put them. Where an individual Christian goes and gets involved, there the body of Christ is active. And I want to suggest that's profoundly freeing and also a huge responsibility. It's freeing because that means I don't have to set up an organization to meet all the needs around me. I can just meet a need around me, a need in front of me. I'm not limited to thinking, my church runs ministries for these three areas and I'm not interested in any of them, so I guess I'll have to do something I'm not interested in. No, go and do what you're interested in and serve Christ there. And it's freeing because I don't need to do everything. I can't be everywhere and care fully about every aspect of life. Jesus does, the one who will fill everything in every way, the one who is over heaven and earth, but I can only care about a limited number of things at any one time. And that's okay. I bring the body of Christ into those situations that I'm in. I bring the service and the love of Christ into situations where I go, following the interests I have. And you might be thinking, this is just, you know, Josh off on a hobby horse. But let me just point out that later in Ephesians, in chapter 6, verses 7 to 8, Paul speaks to slaves who are probably doing menial jobs they don't like, in situations they'd rather not be. And this is what he says to them: serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people. As if you were serving the Lord. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. Slaves could do ministry for Jesus by working hard in a situation they didn't want to be in. In Colossians 3:17, Paul says, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And so what that means is that as a church, we want to be saying, empowering everybody for ministry beyond the church. We don't want to suck everybody's time up with church so that you have no time for anything else, as if that's the most godly thing. We will fulfill Christ's mission to make disciples and obey him, to be his growing body, which one day he will cause to fill the earth, when we individually love and serve Jesus in the places he puts us. And so, hopefully, our teaching and our worship and our prayer is fueling us, equipping us to live for Jesus when we scatter as a church to the homes, workplaces, families, friends, and interest groups who are involved. It's striking that Paul moves on from the way the church body is to work when it's gathered. He goes on in chapters 5 and 6 to how are you to live for Jesus in the home and the workplace. So, I do want every Christian to be actively serving in church. That's part of being church family, church body together. But we also should be equipping each one of us to be disciples of Jesus in the workplace, in the school, in the home. The challenge for me is, am I teaching God's word in such a way that people carry the grace and truth of Jesus with them into those situations? Are we helping people to so understand God's word and the society that we live in and how those come together that they can speak a true and gracious word into situations where most people around them are not followers of Christ? Do we know how to speak distinctly as Christians at the school gate and in the games group and the book club and the toddler group. We must help people to love difficult people, bearing with them, showing grace to those who trouble us, on the sports field and in the home. In all spheres of life, we're called to live for Jesus and to carry his life, his grace and truth with us. So that's our ambition as a church. That's our goal. How well we're doing that, I find it hard to say at the moment. Perhaps this would be something that would be useful for those of you who are with us regularly and part of home groups to discuss and say, is church doing that? Is Sunday and home group equipping us to serve Christ in the everyday life where we are, the presence of Christ, where we are the body of Christ serving Jesus? If you're here and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, then what I want you to hear is that Christ has a purpose for you, has gifts for you, and he invites you to join him. The whole cosmos is heading for a day when Jesus brings all things under his rule in perfect harmony, and you're invited to join in that project, to know God's love, to be sure of eternal hope. This morning, and whenever you open it, really, the word of God, the Bible, the message of Christ will speak to you. And it doesn't matter what you have done in your life or what you haven't done in your life. God, through his word, invites you to trust in Jesus, to live with Jesus and for Jesus. And for those of us who are Christians, I want to encourage you as we finish. We are doing ministry. We are serving Christ when we live and speak for Jesus in the very everyday places of life, in home and school and workplace, in parks and sports clubs and community groups. We carry the presence of Jesus into those situations, for we are his body. We are involved as disciples of Jesus with making disciples of Jesus in those places. It's a privilege and a great joy to be involved in that way. And so my prayer for us is that we are set free to serve Jesus beyond the church as well as in the church, and to take up that responsibility with his help. Father, we thank you that Jesus is the man with all the gifts, that he is the one who brings heaven and earth together. He is the one who will fill everything. He is immeasurably great, and he is our saviour if we have trusted in him. Thank you that he came down low, emptied himself in order to rescue us and lift us up. Thank you that when he welcomes us as those he saves, he doesn't just rescue us to then stand as ornaments doing nothing, but he rescues us and then pours his life into us by his Spirit, so that we might be his body on earth, that when we gather, we represent Christ, and when we go, we carry the aroma of Christ. Please help us to do that. Please help us to remember the privilege of being Christ's people, and to serve him wherever you place us. Amen.